Luke 1. When Herod was king of Judea, there was a Jewish priest named Zechariah. He was a member of the priestly order of Abijah. And his wife Elizabeth was also from the priestly line of Aaron. Zechariah and Elizabeth were righteous in God's eyes and careful to obey all of the Lord's commandments and regulations. They had no children because Elizabeth was unable to conceive, and they were both very old. One day Zechariah was serving God in the temple, and his order was on duty that week. And as was the custom of the priests, he was chosen by lot to enter the sanctuary of the Lord in order to burn incense. While the incense was being burned, a great crowd stood outside praying. And while Zechariah was in the sanctuary, an angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing to the right of the incense altar. And Zechariah was shaken and overwhelmed with fear when he saw him. But the angel said, "Don't be afraid, Zechariah. God has heard your prayer. Your wife Elizabeth will give you a son, and you are to name him John. You will have great joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth, for he will be great in the eyes of the Lord. He must never touch wine or other alcoholic drinks. He will be filled with the Holy Spirit even before his birth, and he will turn many Israelites to the Lord their God. And he will be a man with the spirit and power of Elijah, and he will prepare the people for the coming of the Lord. He will turn the hearts of the fathers to their children, and he will cause those who are rebellious to accept the wisdom of the godly." Two Christmas themes in there, both preparation and proclamation, as it's the angel, of course, proclaiming this good news. In the Gospel according to Matthew, another angel story. This is how Jesus the Messiah was born. His mother Mary was engaged to be married to Joseph. But before the marriage took place, and while she was still a virgin, she became pregnant through the power of the Holy Spirit. Joseph, her fiancé, was a good man and did not want to disgrace her publicly, so he decided to break the engagement quietly. As he considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. "Joseph, son of David," the angel said, "do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child within her was conceived by the Holy Spirit, and she will have a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." All this occurred to fulfill the Lord's message through the prophet, who said, "Look, the virgin will conceive a child, and she will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel," which means God is with us. Two stories concerning angels and preparation and proclamation. Will you pray with me? Our Heavenly Father, we rejoice in this day and for these familiar Christmas stories. And I pray that we will be able to dig out a nugget of truth that might zing into our hearts and help us to experience a blessed Christmas, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Talking a little bit today about Christmas surprises, Christmas expectations, and I've kind of got a couple of slides to start us off to show us what sometimes we expect about Christmas and how sometimes it doesn't turn out just like we expected. And so you see on the left what we hope and expect, and you see on the right the reality that sometimes come upon us. Next slide, please. The expectation, can you see the lower one? I think you can see it. Next, expectation, a family get-together. The reality is everybody's on their cell phones. Expectations, a warm Christmas. Reality is not always the same as the expectation. The reality above with the sleeping dog in front of the fireplace, or is it a cat perhaps? And a cat that's still rolling around in frivolity in the bottom. Is there any more? Oh, yes. Expectation, a wonderful Christmas picture of the young kids. And the reality often is, I don't know if you could see it in the back row, but the young man on the left has just spit up. So that's the way it sometimes works. With Christmas expectations, is there another one? Great expectations for Christmas. Very good. Everybody in this room is preparing for and has expectations for Christmas. My message to you today is that Christmas doesn't always turn out the way we expect. Doesn't always turn out the way we expect. 77 years ago, Friday, people all across this great land were expecting and preparing for Christmas in all the familiar and expected ways, when something suddenly happened that was totally unexpected. My father was 14 on that day of infamy, and he was preparing for Christmas just like everyone else, and in his family, each child in the family, my dad and my dad's two brothers, could each expect to receive one thing for Christmas, and my dad had been asking for a new sled. But didn't turn out the way my dad expected it that Christmas, because my grandfather decided, for obvious reasons, not knowing what the future held, to be financially conservative. And so my dad and his two sisters went without that Christmas in the gift department in that regard. Christmas is sometimes about what we don't expect. These stories that we just read are testament to that. Zechariah and Mary and Joseph, none of them expected to see angels from the realms of glory who were bringing them this news about, for Zechariah, it was like he and Elizabeth were in their old age, had been praying for a long time. That was a good surprise. But for Mary and Joseph, to suddenly she's pregnant and he's not the dad, that wasn't a very welcomed surprise. Nevertheless, that's what came into their lives. People didn't expect for a Messiah to be born in the hick town of Bethlehem. Mary didn't expect to be the mother of God. Joseph didn't expect his bride-to-be to be pregnant. The shepherds didn't expect to be singing "Angels We Have Heard on High," but they did. The whole thing was unexpected, and the message today, part of it, is that sometimes Christmas comes to us in unexpected ways. Surprises, some of which are not always welcome. Mary and Joseph probably didn't jump up and down with glee when they found out that she was pregnant suddenly. And some of us probably are going to have an unexpected and an unwelcome surprise this Christmas. And if that be you, then I want to encourage you to follow in the footsteps of Joseph and Mary, who through determination and faith and wanting to do the Lord's will, in the end, after they exhibited great patience, they received great joy in the end. I was thinking this morning as I went to the refrigerator to get some water out of the refrigerator for a cup. Anyway, I was thinking about Ralphie in that movie, The Christmas Story. And he was preparing for Christmas in all the expected ways, right? And he wanted, what kind of a BB gun did he want? A Red Ryder BB gun. And what did his parents say to him? "You'll shoot your eye out." Right. But he's determined. He's not going to give up, right? And he keeps hoping, and he exhibits patience. And I remember he's going to school, and his teacher invites the whole class to write a paper on something about the best Christmas gift or what I want for Christmas. And he suddenly sees what an opportunity I'm going to have to write the magnum opus of a paper to express I'm going to get the best. So he writes this paper, and he turns it in. If I remember this, he turns it in, and he begins to daydream at his desk. And he sees the teacher in his daydream reading all the other class papers, and she's disgruntled and they're all bad, and she's throwing them aside, and then she reads his and she brightens up and she's full of joy and she's, "Wow, this is the best paper," and he gets an A+, 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 A+ on the paper. And then he comes back to reality, and in fact, when his paper is put back on his desk, he's got a C+ on it, and he's all depressed. And especially when he looks at what's written at the bottom of the paper under the C+, what's it say? "You'll shoot your eye out." Yeah. But I asked Gail this morning, because when I started thinking all this, in the end, did he get the BB gun? And she affirmed he did get the BB gun, right? So what's the connection here? Yeah, he did shoot his glasses, didn't he? But there's a lesson to be learned there. He had faith and patience, and he was determined. And in the end, he received joy. And I guess I'm wanting to say that if you have an unexpected surprise that's unwelcome this Christmas, then don't give up hope. By the way, hope is one of the other Christmas themes, and we're going to get more into this on the Sunday before Christmas, as hope is the key word for that day. But this is just a little aside a little message on hope as part of this proclamation, that if you have an unexpected surprise that's not welcome this Christmas, then follow the example of Mary and Joseph and hang in there and pray and be patient and look to the Lord and have faith, and you'll discover that somehow things have a way of working themselves out. I sent you a quote this morning. I knew I was going to be quoting this, and I have it right in front of me. And as I was thinking about it this morning, I thought it'd be worth sending on because it's a quote worth pondering, and that's why I emailed it today. It comes from Robert Brown, a theologian and a Bible scholar. He wrote a book called Creative Dislocation, The Movement of Grace, in which he writes, "The greatest things that happened to me were the things I never expected. Things I didn't plan for. Things that didn't seem like blessings at all at the time. But I have learned that to speak of grace is to say that the things most worth expecting are the things totally unexpected." May I have the privilege of reading that for you again, and then if you need to ponder about that. "The greatest things that happened to me were the things I never expected, things I didn't plan for, things that didn't seem like blessings at all at the time. But I have learned that to speak of God's grace is to say that the things most worth expecting are the things totally unexpected." I don't know if I've ever read two more sentences that were more pregnant than those two. And that's why I sent that to you, just to think about that. So when you look at your Gmail today, just think about that in light of the rest of the things that I'm going to say today. I have some stories to tell basically the rest of this service that will illustrate what we're talking about here. That sometimes Christmas comes to us as an unexpected surprise, sometimes welcome, sometimes not. And that we need to keep our eyes open for unexpected surprises. And that sometimes we are part of the surprise on someone else's behalf. I'll tell you a story that the New York Times printed several years ago about a man who had a fight with his mother. He was in his late 20s. His father had died 5 years prior to this event, and his younger brother was killed in an automobile accident. It was just him and his mother living together in an apartment in the north part of New York City. And they were having a tough time because he didn't want to work. And he was basically freeloading off of his mom, and she was getting more and more exasperated. And get a job, get a job, get a job. And finally he got a job bagging groceries at a supermarket. But it wasn't long before he was fired because he was caught shoplifting from that supermarket. So his mom said, "You know what, I've decided it's time for you to move out, son." So he decided that he'd become homeless. He didn't have any close friends, and he decided to become homeless, and he moved into Grand Central Terminal in the summer of 1 year, some few years back. It was approaching Christmas, and he was kind of looking for Christmas a little expectantly. He had heard rumors from other fellow homeless people that he met that there was a fellow that came down to Grand Central Terminal every Christmas. You never knew when he was coming, and he would pass out several dozen $100 bills if you happened to be in his way. And he was kind of looking forward to meet that guy. Or he'd heard stories of other people handing out providential special gifts, all kinds of sorts of people. So he had his eyes and his ears figuratively clocked, looking for a Christmas surprise. But when he woke up on Christmas Eve morning, he quickly realized that his shoes were missing. Someone had stolen his shoes overnight. He was hungry, and he slap-footed his way upstairs and went inside a parked and idling train, where he found an abandoned one of these styrofoam coolers that had a couple pieces of Kentucky Fried Chicken and some cold mashed potatoes in it. And he held his hand up to Providence and said, "Thank you for this blessing of food, even though it was cold." The more he thought about that day and his missing shoes, he thought perhaps that was a blessing too. You see, he had called his mother on Thanksgiving just to touch base with her and to wish her a happy Thanksgiving. And she said, "Son, why don't you come home for Christmas dinner?" And he agreed to do that, but he really wasn't excited about going home to Christmas dinner because, one, he was still mourning the loss of his father and brother, and he was too selfish to see that his mother needed him there. But he didn't want to go. And number two, he was full of shame that he wouldn't have a gift to give his mom. So he went to the phone and he called her up to say, "Mom, I've lost my shoes. I'm not coming home for dinner today." And that was pretty much the end of that conversation. The day wore on in loud silence, and the further it went, the more shame he felt in his heart. But now the shame of not having a gift was overtaken by the shame of what he just told his mother about not coming home for Christmas. And he went back to the telephone and called her again to tell her that he would come after all. But now she wasn't answering, and he figured it was because she was angry. So he threaded his way back through the crowded lobby, passing gift-laden people and wide-eyed children, and he sat down in a bench in the waiting area where he was making his home, and he closed his eyes. And when he opened them again, his mother was standing there with a pair of his old sneakers. And she said, "Merry Christmas, son. Why don't you come home?" And so he did. It was a Christmas surprise for that fellow. And sometimes that's what Christmas is all about, unexpected surprises. And I want to turn a corner with you now and say, let's not only keep our eye out for unexpected surprises like that man received, let's also follow in the footsteps of that mother and put ourselves in a position and make ourselves available to be an unexpected surprise for someone else. I.e., this is proclamation theme today. We need to make ourselves available to help be a surprise for someone else. Like Sergeant Wayne Montgomery did back in 1951 in the wintertime, at Christmas time, he was a sergeant for the United States Army in the Korean War. He had just come back in with his troops, with his patrol, and they'd been outside in a blizzard on a patrol. They came back into the barracks. He went into his tent. He was pulling off his clothing, getting ready to lie down on the cot for some much-needed rest. About the time he hit the rack, a lieutenant came in and said, "I'm looking for volunteers. It's been reported that a South Korean family," well, just at that time, a Korean family, a group of villagers, actually, had been left their burned-out village and were wandering around the countryside, and now they're lost in this blizzard. Is there anybody who would volunteer? And this sergeant thought to himself, "There's no way I'm going back out in that cold. I've just been out there for hours, and we'll probably never find them anyway." But then something, he got a nudge in his heart, filled with compassion for those people. He stood back up, and he called four of his men together. They gathered together food and blankets, and the USO had just dropped off Christmas presents, a small Christmas tree, and some candles, and they took them along with them, loaded it all in a Jeep. They drove about 8 miles out into the far as they could go, and they came to a road that was impassable, couldn't go any further. They got out on foot. They started walking. They walked about an hour. They came to an old mission. The roof was gone, but the walls were still intact. They built a fire in the fireplace. They waited for about 2 hours, hoping that these villagers who had to leave their village because it was burning from the war would find them, and they never did. And the guys were so exhausted, they decided, "We're going back to our barracks." But they left the fire burning. They left that small Christmas tree. They left a few candles and those presents there. They went back to their barracks. 2 months later, Wayne Montgomery was shot and was transferred to a hospital nearby. A Korean pastor came in to visit him in that hospital and said, "You mind if I share with you a Christmas miracle that just took place?" And Wayne Montgomery says, "Well, what happened?" "Well, I was with a group of civilians who were burned out of our village, and we began wandering around the countryside, and there was a blizzard going on. We had a woman with us that was getting ready to have a baby. We came across an old mission, and lo and behold, there was a fire in the fireplace, and somebody left a Christmas tree and some candles and some Christmas presents. And it was a miracle. The next day, that baby was born, and the day after that, we were rescued by some United States soldiers." He said, "We were so thankful for what God had done through whoever left those gifts for us that we decided that we would build a church right there." And Wayne Montgomery wrote, "You just never know when you have a special part to play in one of God's surprises." My friends, you just never know when you have a special part to play in one of God's surprises on behalf of someone else that you know or will encounter this Christmas. I'm talking about proclaiming the gospel. You never know. Unexpected surprises. Christmas is full of them. Speaking of unexpected surprises, the expectation is often we have that young children, when they think about Christmas, what's the first thing they think? I'm going to get an Xbox. I'm going to get Legos. I'm going to get what? But I want you to watch this little video. I want you to watch this video here that you're going to see, where you will be unexpectedly surprised at the way that children respond. This is a video of children who live in Atlanta, in the poorest sections of Atlanta, Georgia, in the lowest socioeconomic area of Atlanta, Georgia. And they are told that they are going to get a Christmas present, and they can get whatever they want. They express, this is what I want, Legos or Xbox. And they're given those presents, but then they're also given another present that can be for their parents or someone they love. And they're told that they have to decide. They can get their present if they want, or they can give the other one. It's one or the other. They can't have both. And they're put on the horns of that dilemma. And just when you might expect, watch this video, please.
This year for Christmas, what are you hoping to get?
A computer.
Big, giant Barbie house.
A trophy case.
The Xbox 360.
Minecraft Legos.
What do you think your mom or dad want for Christmas?
My mom would probably want a ring. She's never really had a ring.
Jewelry. She loves jewelry.
A new TV.
Like watches.
So, we actually did buy an Xbox 360.
What in the world? I wanted this!
Okay, and you really got this for me?
A new laptop.
Wow! And it's a necklace!
So we also bought a necklace because you said you also wanted to get a necklace for your mom or your auntie. The catch is that you can either get a gift for yourself, or you can pick a gift for your mom and dad. I need you to pick one. Now before you answer, oh, I bet that's hard. Is that a really hard question?
Mm-hmm.
What gift do you pick?
I choose this.
I gotta go with the ring.
What gift do you pick?
That one.
That one.
The dress.
I'll choose this for my mom.
I'll choose this one.
It's a really tough question.
I'll give him this.
You already know? Tell me why.
Because Legos don't matter. Lego, your family matters. Not Legos, not toys, your family. So it's either family or Legos, and I choose family.
I get gifts every year from my family, and my mom don't get anything.
If I get a laptop, my mom will get something. She helps me when I'm sick. She helps me with my homework.
She gave me a house to live in.
They look out for me and do stuff for me, so I need to give back to them.
Now I have the opportunity to give them something.
Because you actually picked the gift for your family, you're actually going to go home with both. Tell me how you're feeling.
I'm feeling really happy and Why? Thankful.
Just happy. Thankful.
For your family? For what?
My family, everything.
He did make his decision, actually. And oh, he goodness. Picked the Pandora charms.
Oh, that is sweet. That made me cry. So what are you going to do for me?
In your room.
Oh, it's for me? Oh, it's for you.
Thanks, guys.
I was going to.
Surprises of God. We never know when, and we never know where or through whom they're going to come. But the word of Christmas is that they are and they do come. And so this Christmas, let's keep our eyes and ears figuratively cocked, for that surprise that will come into our lives. And at the same time, let's not only be looking out for a surprise, let's make ourselves available. Let's follow in the footsteps of that mother, that homeless young man, and Sergeant Wayne Montgomery. And let's follow in the footsteps of those kids and allow our hearts to be filled with the compassion of the Lord so that we can help somebody else receive a surprise this Christmas. I'm talking about the wonderful surprise of receiving the most wonderful gift, faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. Would you pass that word along about him this Christmas? I know you will. Will you pray with me? Our Heavenly Father, we rejoice in the surprises that took place in that first century, and we still see them occurring today. Indeed, in these three stories that we've looked at and been reminded of the Christmas story, that it was all a surprise. Help us to be on the lookout for surprises in our own lives if it causes us to have patience and determination and faith, then that's a wonderful thing. And we pray that things will work out for the good. We know they do to those who love the Lord and who are called according to His purpose. And beyond that, help us to make ourselves available to a friend, a colleague, a family member who needs to receive the greatest gift of all, that we might be the ones to point them to Christ. And so help us to become available in order to be a surprise for someone else. For we ask this in the name of Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.